Hello, everybody. Very, very good to be with you again this afternoon. So, I want to talk to you today about a sensitive subject. It's something that we don't discuss very often in non-duality, and yet it's something that's very central to all of us, and that, of course, is sex. And we're going to talk about sex and the single being, because if we're going to talk about sex, we can't not talk about the single being, because that's all there is. So when we, quote, we are having sex, let's just notice that there's not anybody out there for us to have sex with other than ourselves. I mean, that's it. So this realization begins to work itself down through the mind and through the body, then very often things can change in our outlook. And I want to go ahead and see if I can spark some of that change, and encourage that change if it's already going on over there, and also just to touch base with you on it so that you don't feel like you're out there and you're alone. So one of the things that we notice is that sex is built into our world. I mean, just from bottom, top to bottom, particularly in America here, which is that the advertisers know what makes us tick, and they just put that TikTok everywhere. I mean, it's built into the way that we buy our cars, the way that we buy our clothes, which cars we buy, which clothes we buy. It's built into where we go, what we say. My God, it's built into absolutely every aspect of our daily life. And we are more or less aware of that, but nobody can really be blind to it. So we're affected by this sexual tension and this sexual pull all day long. And the way that it's presented to us and is that it's presented to us almost like that meat market thing. I mean, it just is, in a sense of, look at that, there she's beautiful, buy this, you know, if you buy this you'll get her, she comes with it, you know, or do this and you'll get this man. You know, this is the guy. And the romance novels and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all about the underpinning. There is, it appears to be sex, because sex is what they build into our world. But what I want you to notice that as we begin to wake up, sex takes on a new look. And what it can do is we begin to, what we're really talking about now is sex, or is intimacy. That's what we're really talking about. Because if I'm having sex with myself, I mean, do I really want to treat myself like a piece of meat? And do I want to think of myself in that manner? I mean, it's just not the way that we like to think about ourselves. We like to dress ourselves up and have a great self-image and this and that and the other. And we try to do that sexually as well, and we get other tools, other furniture in our, and this is our, it's my world, I'm the center of the world, you can see that right here. I'm the one that counts. And so I try to get the furniture of my dream to be placed in such a way that it enhances me, that it enhances the important one here, the one who is at the center of the universe. Everywhere I look, I'm at the center. So as we begin to wake up, we just see, you know, this is a little nutty. I mean, because what they're selling us is they're selling us the unsatisfactory sex. They're selling us sex that can't be satisfied. Because what they're really selling us in movies, books, all of it, with some exceptions, but as a rule, what they're really selling us is they're trying to sell us sex without love. And see, they're two ends of the same stick. You can certainly have love without sex, and you can certainly have sex without love. But if we're conscious, there can't be any sex without love. There can't be any sex without intimacy. Because as we begin to wake up, then we're really interested in finding out about ourselves. We're interested in exploring ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean that the body doesn't respond to natural stimuli. I mean, I'm not like completely on another planet. You know, if I didn't have to shave every day, I can't tell I'm not 22. And I still respond. I see pretty girls, or not even not so pretty girls. But you know, and I just might, oh wow, look at that. And then what they do is they open the door for me and say, "Good afternoon, sir." And I realize I just rain right there on my parade. I realize I'm not even in their sexual universe, but they were in mine. So they can't see me that way, but I see them that way, whether I want to or not. It's not like it's a decision that I can make. I mean, there's thousands of years of conditioning here. So it's a matter of, and just because Big U, so to speak, has an awakening, it doesn't mean that all this conditioning automatically goes away. It doesn't. Some of it will never go away. Some of it doesn't need to go away. And I'm not saying that sex needs to go away either. I'm saying that the way that we approach it, if we're going to remain conscious rather than have it pull us away, because sex is so powerful and so involving that, I mean, it's really about the closest we get prior to enlightenment to the experience of oneness. Because we really fully, we give ourselves to this other person. But what we're really doing is we're trying to make sure they give themselves to us. Isn't that right? So we want to kind of reverse that. We make sure that this is all about, that it's not about taking, it's about accepting. It's about giving and accepting. So when we make love, then when we make love, now let's look at those words, make love. You know, it doesn't say, I'm not saying when we screw, I'm just saying when we make love. When we make love, then that's a very precious thing, and it really is. It's one stick. And whenever we try to have sex without the love, what we end up with is a craving that never goes away. I know, I've had it myself. I've told you that I was addicted to everything, sex, drugs. I've been addicted to food. I've been addicted to cigarettes, to gambling. I mean, I can, you know, I'm like the poster child for many, many 12-step rooms. Because I was addicted to anything that ever felt good, and sex feels really good. So, what we want to do is begin to recondition. Actually, and it's not like we do it. What we want to do is really just become keenly alert. We just want to become keenly alert, because even though I can point these things out to you, there's really nothing you can do about them. It just isn't. I mean, now there can be an openness, there can be a willingness to be other than the way you are, so that then that creates a space so that something else can come in. It might be a little wiser and healthier than the unit's brain, because we're moving from brain to flow. But what happens when we wake up is we get to the point where we can begin to see our patterns. Because that's all these things are. This is just conditioning. It looks like it's a Fred. It's not. It's a Fred Ness. There's Fred Ness here. We can call it the Fred unit. We got to call it something, and I'm happy to call it Fred. But we just won't want to believe that. We don't want to think that this really is a Fred. So, but there's all this conditioning here, and that conditioning is not going away. It's not going to quit responding. And it's not going to just get over it, right? It's just not. So what I can do is I begin to wake up, I can watch the patterns of Fredness. And they're just patterns. Most of them are blind patterns. I mean, we don't even have to be in the room for almost everything we do to occur. And frankly, we're not in the room when a lot of what we do occurs. That's the miracle of mindfulness, but that's another topic. So what we want to do is watch these patterns and begin to watch from a conscious view. In other words, just be who you are, which is it. and look at things from that, begin to look at things with that perspective. It's uncomfortable. I mean, I've been appalled by stuff I've seen this unit do. It was not a skillful unit. It was a terrifically unskilled unit. Had no idea how to get along. It really believed that sex was all about it. It had no, I wasn't, you know, out to hurt you or anything, but what it was all about was me, and you were a tool, and how can I use that? And that's just the rough and tumble world that this unit came from. And you may not be at that, you know, may not be as far down the line as I am, but this is a sliding scale. We're all on the same scale. And it's just luck of the draw as to where we are on that scale. And what we want to do is we want to find out where we are on that scale, so to speak, because we want to begin to watch our unskillful patterns. We want to watch we can watch the skillful ones too. It never hurts to catch yourself doing something right and notice that. That's all you have to do, just notice it. Same thing with these unskillful patterns. If you're in a committed relationship and you just find yourself wandering, who is it that's wandering? Does that sound like awakeness to you? No, I don't think so. You know, that's always going to come back to, in this case, that would be Fredness wandering, not awakeness. Awakeness is always content with exactly what's here. And as far as a human being goes, I mean, I've been with Betsy 13 years. I haven't thoroughly investigated that, because every time that I am with Betsy in any way, then it's a different Betsy, because there's nothing constant there. See, that's just the ego that goes, yeah, I've already done that, been there, done that, I'm tired of that. It's not that way in conscious loving. It just isn't. So it's not also the thing that is with Betsy is not the same. I mean, it's not just that the river that we step in is never the same river twice. The thing that steps in the river is never the same thing twice either. And when we begin to take things for granted, then that's just simply not going to be satisfying. So I go get something else. But you know what? The something else I'm going to get is not going to be satisfying either, because it doesn't have anything to do with who or what I get to add to me. It amounts to the fact that there's just an open craving, which is just like an open chasm, and you can throw anything you want to down in there, and you are never going to close it. This is that unsatisfied desire. There's nothing wrong with the desire. The universe is built around desire. Without desire, there is no world. Without the desire to be, there is no world. There's not me, there's not you, there's none of this stuff. It's all built on desire. So we give desire really a bad rap. It's just okay. The thing is what we want to do, we can notice desire without believing desire. You see the difference there? It's huge. So, in other words, I can notice that this unit still, you know, it's certainly aware of the opposite sex, which is, I mean, that's the way it works for me, is the opposite sex, but it doesn't have to. It certainly could work for me in the same sex. And actually, in a way, it does, because the older I get and the more open I get, the more I notice beauty in men, too. I mean, I'm not interested in sleeping with them, but I notice, I'll tell Betsy, God Almighty, look at that hunk, look at that beautiful man. And when I say that, it's not like, you know, I want to do things to him. It's noticing how beautiful that arising is, how perfect that arising is. I do the same thing with women. And it's because I can't, there's just thousands of years of conditioning here. We call it DNA, and there's no way it's not going to respond to that. So it's not a matter of... I don't have to clean up my thinking. What I have to do is notice that I don't have to believe my thinking. And the less attention that I give certain lines of thought, then the less attention that ceases to expand in my experience. Whatever we put our precious divine attention on expands in our experience. And when I put my attention own sex without love, that is going to expand in my experience, and I'm going to slurp up all I can get, and it's never going to make any difference. You know, if I'm content, it's only for just a very short while, and then I got to have a new charge. I got to have a new thing. But sex with love is completely different, because sex with love is all about exploring myself. That's the way it is from the non-dual view, is that it's really more about intimacy. It's not about so much about banging another piece of meat as much as it is exploring myself. Because there's a natural curiosity here. You can feel it. If you have any awakeness about you, you can feel that there's a childlike curiosity. If you even, whether you're awake or not, if you look at your attention and how it drifts to different things, and there's a childlike curiosity there, and that curiosity is interested in everything about what? About itself, because this is all there is. So when I'm with another person, the intimacy of that, then I am exploring myself in another form. Oh, how sweet that is! You know, we love to run down relativity. My God, this is the coolest thing going. Who wants to transcend this? I mean, I understand that we set ourselves up for suffering and everything. That's only if we're believing our thoughts. We can have a riot here if we're not believing everything that pops up in our head. So, exploring that, you know, like with Betsy, I can explore myself objectively. Incredible. And I love Betsy very, very much. You know, I mean, I'm not looking for sex without love anymore. It's incredible a statement as that is for me to make. It's an absolutely true one. Is that I'm just not interested in the one-ended stick. Because there is no one-ended stick. Which means that if I'm not having sex with love, then I'm having sex with dissatisfaction. It's always going to be a two-ended stick. And I'm not interested in dissatisfaction anymore. I've been there. I've done that. It's just suffering. It's just, and suffering's built into loveless sex. It just is. And a deep, deep, deep contentment is built into loving sex. So as we begin to awaken, and you know, perhaps particularly if we are getting older, because I can't tell you my sexuality ain't gone anywhere, but I can tell you I can't tell you it hasn't changed. Not only because of awakening, but I suspect that a certain part of it is because I am aging, and these drives are not so urgent as they used to be. The drive that is still as urgent, you know, will remain urgent for us, really, is that egoic drive, which is I want to be thought of as younger, because maybe you can think I'm younger, I can pretend to be younger or something like this. So let me go get the younger model, because I'm not actually interested in marrying my wife. I'm interested in wearing her, right? So just like I'm wearing this watch, I'm going to wear this watch, and I want to go out and show it around. Look at my watch. It's an expensive new watch. I mean, you know, it just, that's the way we think. And nothing wrong with watches. I'm a fool for watches. So, but what we want to do is we want to notice that when we're wearing our mate, what we're trying to really do is catch the reflection of their bright light, because to us, they are a bright light. And we're trying to catch that reflection. So in other words, have you seen my beautiful wife? I mean, not that we care about my beautiful wife, but doesn't it reflect nicely on me? And that's what really matters. Have you seen what a great guy my husband is? Not that we care about him, but you can imagine what type of person I am if he's attracted to me. It's unbelievable. It all comes back to this. Even if, and it's the same way, is, oh my God, what a bitch my wife is. Do you notice that comes right back to me? It's not about the wife. It has nothing to do with that. It's about, do you see my victim story? I mean, I'm wearing it just like my watch. I'm wearing it. I'm wearing my victim story, and I hope you feel sorry for me. Because if you feel sorry for me, then I'll feel like I'm getting attention. And that's what everything wants. Everybody, everything wants attention. That wants that precious divine attention. That's what all of life about is notice me. Notice me. It's the reason children do what they do. It's notice me. I'm trying to be here. Even if you look, we look at a daffodil. It comes out of the ground. And what's it do? It leans toward the sun. It's saying, it's saying, I am. That's its story, is I am. Pay attention to me. Ooh, leans toward it. And we do that same thing. We lean toward attention. And if we can't get attention that way, we'll get it some way. We'll go shoot up people in the mall, or we'll do whatever we need to do. But we'll get some attention one way or the other. And you take somebody who's not getting any and is deeply desiring some, and you've got yourself an explosion coming. There's no way around it. It's just a matter of time. So this, what I want to notice is that our sexual experience can change until what, instead of the longing the physical longing, I don't know if that ever goes away. It hasn't gone away here. But what I can tell you is that it has changed. And much of what occurs here now is a longing for intimacy, not sex. It's a longing for that closeness that can be experienced when I'm with another me, when I'm with another version of me, when I'm able to experience myself objectively. And I just notice that that's very, very special. I can hug Betsy and it just feels like I could just crush her. You know, it's just like, I just want to pull her inside my body, or I want my body to fall inside of hers. And I don't really care which. Just depends on the type of embrace. So there's also I can tell you, Betsy and I spend a lot of nights. We spend an hour a night. She insists, because it'd be the hour a night that I don't work. And we'll lie down on our bed, and we'll get under the covers, and usually Willie will come up and get with us, and maybe Dickens will come in and sit on the edge of the room, and we will watch an hour's worth of television. Right now we're watching Ken Burns documentaries. Sometimes we watch trash. We like that too, you know? I mean, what's more fun than Mad Men? I mean, it's not really trash, but it really is, kind of. You know, soap opera. So, it's... Or Downton Abbey, you know, we love that. And we'll hold hands. And I can't tell you what that intimacy is. We both need it very badly. In other words, we'll grab at everything about our whole day. You can see it's built around getting there. It's just built around getting there. So that when we come together, there's just an immediate, because Betsy doesn't have to be anything other than the way she is for me. I mean, I'm tickled to death with the way she is. I certainly wouldn't know how to fix her. And she allows me to be exactly the way I am too. And it's the same thing. When we come together, there is total acceptance. Total acceptance. I mean, it's just... I mean, there's just total acceptance. What can I say? We never argue, there's very, very rarely a hurt feeling or anything else. It can happen, but usually what will happen if we're both very tired or we're both hungry, hungry and tired. I used to warn you about that in 12-step recovery, and it's the same thing here. But the good news is that as soon as it sparks, we're both all about getting on we neither one of us have any pride whatsoever. How do I make this right? How do I get it to where I'm not off base with myself? How do I get the intimacy back? Without it, it's not a craving thing. It's just a noticing that when I'm comfortable, totally relaxed and comfortable in my world, it's just simply more enjoyable. And when that's happening, I don't have to be thinking non-duality. I'm living non-duality. I mean, because when that happens, you know, the two become one. I mean, not that there are two to begin with, but it feels like there's two, the experiences of two. And the two become that one. I can touch Betsy's hand, run my hand, I'd reach over and grab her hand like that, or run my hand over the top of her hand. And it's fantastic. It sounds bizarre, but it's some of the best sex I've ever had. in that, again, if we bring sex down to what it really is, which is the exploration of myself, which is the physical enjoyment of myself, the mental enjoyment of myself. It's the, because it's not like we've got sexuality over here and spirituality over here. It's the same thing. There's only one thing going on. I mean, non-duality says what? That there's just one thing going on. So there can't be sexuality here and spirituality over there. There's, it's all one. And when I go out in search of greater intimacy, what happens is, boy, doesn't it gentle me down. So I was pretty much of a cowboy there for a long time, I don't mind telling you. And it's gentled me down so much. Because the love, it's a two-edged stick, but the love comes first. That's what's most interesting to me. That's what's experienced the most. And if you're younger and you're listening to this, you know, don't think I'm telling you to throw in the towel. You know, you're going to do what you do anyway. But if you're involved in non-duality, start looking at, well, we're trying to look at everything consciously, aren't we? I mean, that's what we're trying to do. Is we're trying to wake up. We're trying to become conscious awakeness. We can't be anything other than awakeness. There's not anything other than awakeness. But whether that is conscious awakeness or unconscious awakeness, the difference is huge. And we're trying to learn to live consciously. That's the only thing that's going to save this planet, if anything saves it at all, will be conscious awakeness. So, which is what we're doing. We're just trying to become conscious. And let's not leave sex over there. You know, which is, yeah, I'm really wide awake, except for over here. I notice that over here is that I still think the way I always thought. I still act the same way I used to act. I still think the way I used to. I mean, I still talk the way I used to talk. All of that. You know, it just all can change. And it doesn't mean that we don't desire somebody on a very deep physical level. That's fine. All of that's built in. You're not controlling that. I'm not suggesting that you do, but be aware. Look what happens is as we begin to watch these patterns, then we'll begin to see as we move further and further into awakeness, we'll begin to spot those unskillful patterns. We don't want to say they're good patterns or bad patterns. It's just some are more skillful than others, and it's obvious which is which. So the way that I look at these patterns is I try to look at it from the standpoint of what is in alignment with my core intention. My core intention, and I guarantee you, I know what yours is too, whether you know it or not. And that's to live as conscious awakeness, because you wouldn't be watching me for 28 minutes right now if you weren't. I mean, you might have been slowly interested, but you would have clicked off in 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 5 minutes. So if you haven't, you're in. This is your core intention. So we can, and great, we think that awakeness is just going to be like make us a slave so that we have to live as conscious awakeness. And that's not the case. Awakeness is all about right now. Am I willing to be awake right now? Am I willing to tell myself the truth right now? Worked with a woman this morning from California. She's been with a lot of teachers and been on the path for decades. And she woke up beautifully with me in about 2 hours, because she was ready to tell herself the truth. And are we willing to tell ourselves the truth about this, even if we're not widely awake? Do we need to wait until we're widely awake to begin acting as if we were this one thing? And that you know, what if I started treating people like they really mattered? What if I started treating like you matter as much as me? Because you do. And if I don't believe that, I'm just simply in denial and I'm not very awake. Respect. Respect is a part of love. And I never had respect. I just wanted to see what kind of calisthenics I could get you to do. You know, it wasn't about respect. It was all about satisfying this unsatisfiable sex drive. It was all about filling up this empty hole. And it doesn't matter. I mean, I did my fair share. You just can't fill that up. Not because we, you know, a guy told me a long time ago, you know, you can't quit drinking. And it just made so much sense to me. It was like, oh, you mean in order to quit drinking, I got to quit drinking? Oh, God, I never thought quite about that. In other words, I got to be open to something new coming. I got to be open to quitting drinking. I got to be open to change. So we're not going to come to greater conscious awareness by deliberately remaining unconscious to the parts of us that are not awake, and sex is usually one of the last to go. You know, not that we ever lose all of that. We're not saying that we have to. that we don't lose all. I mean, in other words, there's still parts of me that are unawake. I can look at another teacher who's been awake longer there and worked with more people or whatever, and I can see that there's less them there than there is redness here, and I'm open to that. That's great. I mean, I don't desire anything. I don't even know what it is that they, how, I don't know how you can be clearer than this is the truth of it. I don't know how, because I don't miss it, because I don't know what I don't know. I always know what I know, but I don't know what I don't know. So I'm very happy to be as bright as I am here, but I'm open to more, because that I don't know what I don't know is that open door. So there's still parts here that are not awake. My job is to bring them to the light. That's the reason I do videos sometimes on things that about myself of which I'm not particularly proud. That's bringing it to the light. When I'm willing to show the things I want to hide and hide the things I want to show, then I'm making real progress. And I don't know how much progress this unit's made in that regard, but it's made a little bit. So we'll talk about this again if the reception to this video is positive. It's something that we can look at, something we can talk about, something we can open up to. It's a world of possibilities out there, but we really need to open to enjoy them. So I invite you to join me in conscious awakeness. Bye-bye for now. I enjoyed so much being with you.